Islamic beliefs. In our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Our Islamic Beliefs And inshallah in this episode we'll hear another Islamic teaching, Islamic belief rather which we must adhere to, which we must have the correct understanding regarding. Now, throughout the ages, our ulama, our scholars, the mutakallimun, the theologians, they have clarified these matters in their books. They have explained them in their books so that the latter people, the later generations can read those books, can understand those books and adopt the right aqidah. As we know, the awam, they are not those who continuously read these books or go into so much depth or detail, but the ulama of this time even, alhamdulillah, they explain, they clarify, and they elaborate upon these teachings of Islam so that the awam, they have the correct and right aqidah. So today in this episode, we will be hearing about an important aqidah, and that is shafa'at, intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We'll hear how intercession is proven from Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and we will also hear the answers to those who object to the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Now first of all, it's important to note that rejecting this concept of shafa'at unconditionally and saying that no one will intercede, mutlaqan inkar, this is kufr, disbelief. Why? Because this is denial of numerous verses of the Quran which endorse this particular concept, shafa'at, and it's also a denial and rejection of so many ahadith, blessed sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, in regard to intercession, shafa'ah, one of the most famous verses of the Quran, if not the most famous verse, Ayatul Kursi. We recite this on a daily basis. There are so many fadail in relation to reciting it. We recite it before going to bed, upon waking up, after the 5 daily salah. There's so many benefits to be attained through recitation of Ayatul Kursi. In this Ayatul Kursi, there is a part, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is there that will intercede in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with his إذن, his permission? Meaning, who can intercede without his permission? Nobody can. But with his permission, with his إذن, the numerous people, numerous Anbiya alayhi wasalam, awliya will intercede. So, the one who denies shafa'at is denying such a verse. Now, a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked our master alayhi salatu wa sallam that Allah ta'ala has said in the Quran, عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, that soon your Lord will place you on a station of praise and all of creation will praise you. This is the meaning of the verse. The Sahabi wanted to ask, what is maqama mahmuda that is mentioned here? What does it refer to? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it, and this is the tafsir of the verse through the blessed tongue of Rasulullah alaihi wasallam, that this is shafa'ah, intercession. That Allah Ta'ala's placing the Prophet alaihi wasallam on a station of praise is granting him that ability to intercede. Now, we will hear other verses of the Quran as well, and we will hear ahadith kareema as well. Now, in the Quran itself, there are some verses which outwardly it seems are negating shafa'ah, negating it, meaning not endorsing it, rather saying that it will not take place. Now, these verses of the Quran, which outwardly, seemingly reject shafa'ah, some people look at these verses and say, nobody will intercede on the Day of Judgment. The Quran is saying this. But unfortunately, these people have adopted the same way as those who came before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, people from the Ahlul Kitab as well, who they would believe in some verses of the Quran and reject other verses. The Quran itself says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some ayahs of the Quran, in some parts of the Quran, and you reject other parts? You disbelieve in other parts? So those people who try to infer from such verses, which bazaahir seemingly show that shafa'ah will not take place, they reject those verses of the Quran wherein shafa'ah is established. And you've heard some of those verses as well. So the scholarly way, the way of a Muslim that he takes from the ulama, is that all the ayat of the Quran have to be looked at, understood in their correct context, and then aqidah is formed. Not by looking at solitary verses of the Quran and ignoring other verses of the Quran on the same topic. Especially when the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ strengthen and consolidate that aqidah, meaning shafa'ah, as we will hear. And these people, they need to understand that the Quran isn't understood like that, isn't studied like that. For example, in the Quran it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la taqrabu as-salata. O believers, do not go near salah. Now, if someone just reads that bit of the Quran and says, we don't have to pray, the Quran is telling us that, oh, believers, don't go towards salah, this will be an incorrect understanding and he will end up being worthy of chastisement, punishment, and it's a grave sin. Because afterwards it says, وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Do not go close to salah whilst you are intoxicated. So a khas state has been mentioned. Similar to this is those ayat of the Quran where shafa'at is outwardly being negated. It's a khas context. The meaning has to be understood in light of the context as well. Otherwise, a person will be guilty of deception. He'll be deceiving the masses. He won't be conveying the true teachings of Quran and Sunnah. Now, what's the answer then? Some verses attest and endorse shafa'at. Other verses outwardly seem like they reject it. What's the tatbiq? What's the concordance? Listen carefully. The verses that establish shafa'at, they are also correct. And the verses that reject shafa'at, they are also correct. But the mahmal, the context is completely different. And then, when a believer is sincere, his research is sincere, he will read both sets of verses in light of tafaseer, classical tafaseer of the Quran, the likes of Tafsir Razi, Tafsir Tabari, Tafsir Baghawi, Tafsir Madarik, Tafsir Khazim, Tafsir Ruhul Bayan, Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, and numerous tafaseer to come to the correct understanding. He will read the fatawa of the ulama in this regard and then form a conclusion. Otherwise, he'll be guilty of deceiving others. So what's the understanding? Those verses that mention there will be no shafa'at for the people, that's in reference to kuffar disbelievers, those who died upon disbelief. They won't be saved in the akhirah. They won't gain salvation, of course. So shafa'at won't be for them. Shafa'at which leads them to Jannah, of course that won't be for them. So no one can intermediate for them. Nobody can intercede for them. And as for those who performed idol worship, committed idol worship, then the idols won't intercede for them, won't help them or benefit them in the least in the hereafter. So those ayat which negate shafa'at are referring to these types of people. The polytheists, the disbelievers, those who went against monotheism, those who died upon kufr. Of course there will be no shafa'ah for them, shafa'ah which leads to salvation and success. And the second interpretation of those verses, and this is a valid interpretation as well, that shafa'at being negated is shafa'at independently, interceding independently of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This isn't proven for anyone. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who will open the door of intercession, his intercession is also through the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the granted power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the authority given to him by Allah azza wa jal. So these verses, the second interpretation of those verses where shafa'at is seemingly being negated, it means that nobody can do shafa'at independently of the Creator jalla wa ala. Allah ta'ala will give idhn, will give ijaza, authority and power, then people will intercede, even our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our aqeedah. Nobody believes that anyone will intercede independently of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a lengthy hadith in Bukhari where the Prophet alayhi salam will perform sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after people had gone from one Nabi to another Nabi. And each Nabi will say, I can't help you today, I'm concerned about myself. Eventually when they come to the Prophet alayhi salam, he'll say, Ana laha, I am for this, I will intercede. Now, in that hadith it says that the Prophet alayhi salam will perform prostration. Allah ta'ala will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'asak. Oh Muhammad, raise your head. Ask, you'll be given. Intercede, your intercession will be accepted. So, here Allah ta'ala is accepting the intercession. Allah ta'ala is giving the glad tidings of the Prophet alayhi salam's shafa'at being accepted in his pure court. So, this is the correct understanding. And if somebody wants a dalail upon this, the dalail are mentioned. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the verse we quoted before, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is there that will intercede without the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama have said this means with the idhn of Allah people will intercede, not independently of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not without the permission of Allah azza wa jal. And this is called shafa'at bil-idhn. The ulama have categorized it as shafa'at bil-idhn. The first of creation, first in creation to intercede is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has also said, Ana awwalu shafi'in, I am the first to intercede. So with the ijazah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Prophet alayhi salam will intercede. Then many others will intercede thereafter. The pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will intercede, the ulama will intercede, those who performed and accepted hajj will intercede. For 400 people, the one whose hajj was accepted, he will intercede for 400 people. A hafiz of the Quran will intercede for 10 people. But even that child, a miscarriage, that child will also intercede for its parents on the day of judgment as well. And the word dispute has been used in hadith. It will be said, O child who is disputing, take the hands of your parents and lead them to Jannah, lead them to paradise. So all of these are evidences of shafa'ah, this concept being a concept that Islam is agreed upon. The ulama of Islam, there's a consensus upon this. Now if a child can intercede, a miscarried child, then what about the truthful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So these are logical things that people need to try and understand. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his intercession will be general, arm. That the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, I was given the choice to have half of my ummah forgiven, or I could choose shafa'ah. And I chose shafa'ah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because more than half of the ummah will be forgiven through the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the ummah who died upon iman, ummah, al-ummatul ijaba, those who accepted the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after punishment, Allah forbid, even if someone is punished, eventually that person will go to Jannah because of iman and because of intercession as well. Now the types of intercession, al-shafa'atul kubra and al-shafa'atul sughra. Al-Shafa'atul Kubra, which is also known as Al-Shafa'atul Uzma, this will also extend to the disbelievers as well. On the Day of Judgment, and this hadith has been touched upon earlier, the hadith of Bukhari regarding Shafa'ah, on the Day of Judgment, accountability will be severe. And prior to that, the ground is made of copper, the sun is a mile and a quarter away from people's heads. People will be drowning in their own sweat, some up to their knees, some up to their waist, some up to their necks even, ma'adallah. And in that difficult moment, the kuffar will just want azab to be meted out to them. Even this will be painful for them, waiting, intizar for hisab. And when the Prophet ﷺ intercedes, the hisab will begin, accountability will begin. Now for the kuffar, they would think that they've been helped by accountability being quickened. But in fact, this will just quicken their entrance into hellfire, which is much more severe. But because during that day of judgment, the calamity, the struggle, the difficulty of that day, for them they will think that it can't be as this bad in Jahannam. But as we know, Jahannam is the place of torment, is the place of punishment. So this is how they will even benefit from the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will open the door of intercession, shafa'atul kubra, and even the kuffar will benefit as well. But obviously there's no shafa'ah for the disbelievers where they will enter paradise, or their sins, or their punishment rather, will be lessened on the day of judgment. Yes, for the believers, there is salvation through intercession. There is a decrease, a lessening of azab through intercession shafa'ah. And the second type of shafa'at, this is shafa'atul sughra. This is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is granted this station of praise, and Allah Ta'ala will give him this unique rank where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for people. And there's so many types of shafa'at of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under this particular category. So shafa'ah for the pious to have their ranks raised, shafa'ah for people who have destroyed themselves with sins. The Prophet alayhi wasallam said, "Inna shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati." Shafa'ah for those who were about to go into hellfire, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped them from going into the hellfire. Shafa'ah for those people who ma'adallah entered the hellfire, and then after the sins, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interceded for them as well. So there's so many different types that come under this shafa'ah. Even through the wasila of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, other anbiya alayhi wasallam will perform shafa'ah for their respective ummah. The ulama will perform shafa'ah, the awliya will perform shafa'ah, hujjaj, huffaz, we heard about the miscarried child. And just to tell you the scope of shafa'ah bestowed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his mahabba for the ummah, listen to this hadith, subhanallah, this will grant you so much peace and comfort, inshallah. The Prophet alayhi salam said, on the day of judgment, gold pulpits will be laid out for the anbiya alayhi salam. The anbiya alayhi salam will be sitting on those gold pulpits. Only one pulpit will be empty, and that's mine. Because due to fear that my ummah or some of my ummah are sent to hellfire, I will not sit on the pulpit. Rather, I will go and intercede for them and ensure their entrance into Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ is thinking about our benefit on the Day of Judgment, thinking about me and you. So this is why we must love the Prophet ﷺ more than everything, because he will help us in our most difficult moment. When no relation will help you, the Prophet ﷺ will help you. The Prophet ﷺ said in another narration, Allah Ta'ala gave every Nabi a khas dua, specific dua, which would readily be accepted. Meaning all duas of the Anbiya alayhi salam are accepted, but this is a specific request that they make in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding which there is no doubt. The other Anbiya alayhi salam, they made that supplication. But I, meaning the Prophet alayhi salam, saying, I save that supplication for my ummah on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, I will make that khas dua for my ummah. And what is that dua? That is going to be for shafa'ah. The Prophet ﷺ is thinking about me and you, loves me and you. We can never comprehend the level of love. We can never ever love the Prophet ﷺ as much as he loves us. Allahu Akbar. Allah Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahman says something beautiful. He says there are only two types of shafa'at which are bila wasita, without a wasila, without intermediation, direct forms of shafa'ah, and all the rest of the shafa'ahs are indirect forms. He says, number one, Al-Quranul Kareem, direct form of shafa'ah. We'll intercede for the reciters of the Quran, those who love the Quran, as we know in the hadith. But that's direct. This is the kalam of Allah, sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second type of shafa'ah, which is direct, is the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will intercede directly without a wasila. All other types of shafa'ah, meaning the Anbiya alayhi salam, awliya, huffaz, ulama, shuhada, young kids, all of them, it will be through the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Just think about that for a moment. Two types of direct shafa'a, kalamullah and habibullah. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anbiya alayhi salam will ask for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will verify and affirm their intercessions. Similarly with awliya, huffaz, ulama, it's through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah says, even the Kaaba al-Musharrafah, which will intercede, it will be through the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ramadan Kareem, which will intercede through the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, Allah wants to please His beloved. We know this from the evidence regarding Shafa'ah as well. Allah Ta'ala will say, oh beloved, are you happy? I mean, this is on the Day of Judgment, when the Prophet ﷺ has performed Shafa'ah. The Prophet ﷺ will say, I am happy. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anh says, when the Prophet ﷺ read this dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim ﷺ, in the Quran, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That, oh my Lord, indeed the idols have misguided many of the people. So those who follow me, they are from me, and those who disobey me, indeed you are all forgiving, all merciful. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua, this request in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salam remembered this, recalled this dua. The Prophet alayhi salam recalled the dua of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. Meaning those who disobeyed Isa alayhi salam from his ummah. Isa alayhi salam said, oh, if you are to punish them, O Allah, then they are your slaves. Wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. And if you are to forgive them, then you are almighty, all wise. When the Prophet ﷺ came across these two du'as, which are mentioned in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the Prophet ﷺ began to cry. He made du'a for his Prophet. And he said, oh my Ummah, oh my Ummah. Jibreel ﷺ was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was commanded to ask the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you crying? Even though Allah knows all well. Jibreel ﷺ asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm crying out of grief for my Ummah. Jibreel alayhi salam conveyed this, relayed this. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying due to his ummah, out of grief for his ummah. Allah Ta'ala then revealed, and he made Jibreel alayhi salam convey this to the Prophet alayhi salam, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And soon your Lord will grant you so much that you are pleased. I mean, this verse was revealed. That's when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will not be pleased until every single ummati of mine is saved from the fire of hell. Meaning entered into paradise. They are saved from the fire of hell. Subhanallah. Khuda ki raza chahte hain do alam. Khuda chahta hai raza-e Muhammad. There's so much more that can be said regarding the shafa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will conclude here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding of this aqeedah of shafa'a. Our Prophet alayhi salam will intercede for us. And we beg for his intercession, we plead for his intercession, and that's our way to salvation in the Akhirah. Ameen, bijahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day, guided by